had a. We spent 4 or 5 days at a rabbinic conference up in Kibbutz Lavi, and since we resolved most of the problems of Klal Yisrael, I was able to return. It was listen, we've got a lot of problems, and I'm not talking political problems. I don't care what Mordechai does; it makes no difference. But there are a lot of problems in Congress, and we try to deal with them, and we'll probably will be dealing with them until Mashiach Tzidkenu comes. The Mehera V'Yameinu, yes. We're dedicating this year to the memory of Elazar Ben Tzvi and Golda Bas Moshe Leib. They were both Nifter Chof Shvat? Huh? Zion Shvat. 4 years apart on the same day. Parents? 4 years apart on the same day. Zion Shvat. All right. Okay. So we will learn Le'ilu Nishmoteim. The parasha is parasha b'shalach v'yehi b'shalach paro et ha'am. And it came to pass when Paro sent out the people to Lo'nachom al-Kim derech eretz plishtim, God did not lead them through the land, the way, the road of the land of the plishtim, ki karovu, because it is close, ki amar, because God had said, ki amar al-Kim, God had said, ten yinachim ha'am, ber'otam l'chama v'shavim mitzchayno, lest the people will regret the step that they've taken when they see war, and they will return to Egypt. The whole passage is difficult. You know, we read it, and it's a pasuk that so much is written about it. So much is written. And of course, basic problem number one, Vayihi b'shalach paro et ha'am, when Paro sent out the people, it seems all of a sudden, if the three sedras of God telling him, shalach et ami v'avduni, send out my people, and God took them out, mitachat sivlot mitzrayim, I will take you out. Who's the great taker outer? Is God. And now it seems that it's the ashekayach is being given to Paro. Paro sent them out. You can't think that you're going to leave on your own. I'm throwing you out. You're not going to go to another party. I'm going to fire you. Understand? Right? What do you mean all of a sudden the shalach Paro et ha'am, the great hero, is Paro? Paro rid himself of the Jewish people. In Hallel, what do we say? B'tzeit Yisrael mimitzrayim. There it's Yisrael who is given credit for the exodus from Egypt. B'tzeit Yisrael, when Israel went out of Egypt. And there are so many psukim where it says that God is Hamotzi Etchem, the one who takes you out, mitachat sidlot mitzrayim, from beneath the burdens of Egypt. I will take you out beyond Chazoko Mizroa Netuya. And here we begin a sedra called Bishalach, that it is Paro who's the great sender. Thus we have to understand, what does it mean? V'lo nochem elokim derech eretz plishtim, God did not take them through the land of Plishtim, ki karovu, because it is close. So of course the word ki is a key word. It has to be understood. If we're going to translate it as because, then of course we have a problem. If a road is closer or quicker, is that reason to use it or not to use it? It's obviously the reason to use it. So, you know, you come along and say, God did not take them through the land of Plishtim. Oh, that's close. What do you mean, that's close? If that's close, that's the road that you should have chosen. Ki amar alakim, so of course. I mean, we're going to have to see how all of the parts of the psukim how they all fit together. It's a jigsaw puzzle. Kiyamara l'kim, because God said, lest the people will regret when they see war, v'shavu Mitzrayim, they will return to Mitzrayim. Therefore, all of Pasuk Yud Zayin really is the introduction to Pasuk Yud Chet. Therefore, v'yaseh l'kim et ha'am derech ha'midbar, God took the people through the road of the desert, Yamsuf, near the Red Sea, the Chamushim, Olu b'nei Yisrael, me'eretz Mitzrayim, and one shot in Rashi is armed. The children of Israel went up out of Egypt. Now wait a minute, this seems to be quite different than the beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha, Jews are not going out or going up, they're being thrown out. B'shalach paro et ha'am. And now at the end of the second pasuk we have that B'nai Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, they went out of Egypt armed. Let's go another few pesukim, and then we'll come back to it. Vayikach Moshe tatzmot Yosef imo. Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him. Ki hashbeya hishbiyat b'nei Yisrael lemo, because Yosef had administered an oath to the children of Israel, saying, Pakod yifkod olekim etchem, God is going to remember you. V'ha'al yitem et atzmotay mizeh etchem, you should take my bones, mizeh, from here, etchem, with you. Mizeh. I don't know, whenever I come to the word mizeh or something like it, I get the feeling that Yosef doesn't even want to utter the name Mitzrayim. Take me out of here, this place. Despite all the greatness that he had achieved in Mitzrayim, as far as Yosef is concerned, in the ultimate sense, this place is zeh. Get me out of it. They journeyed from Sukkot by Yachanu be'Etam, and they encamped in Etam b'Kzehem Midbar, at the edge of the desert. Vashem holeth lifneihem yomam, and God is going before them by day, ba'amud anan, with a pillar of cloud, lanchol tam haderech, to lead them along the road. Ba'layla ba'amud eish lahoyeh lahem, and at night with a pillar of fire in order to light the way for them. Lalechet yomam ba'layla, so they can go journey day and night. Lo yamish amud ha'anan yomam ba'amud ha'esh laila lifnei ha'am, and the pillar of cloud would not be removed day, nor the pillar of a fire at night from before the people. Let's go just another few psukim, and then we'll go back. Yadavir Hashem Moshe Lemor, and God spoke to Moshe, saying, Davel b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, v'yashuvu v'yachanu lifnei pi achirot, and they should return and turn backwards in a direction leading toward Mitzrayim, and they should encamp before Pi Hachirot, Bein Migdol, between a place called Migdol Ubein Hayam, Lifnei Balzfon, facing the Sphinx, Nichcho, facing him, Tachanu Al Hayam, you should encamp by the sea. V'om HaParo L'Bnei Yisrael, Paro is going to say about the children of Israel, Nevuchim Heim Ba'aretz, they are confused in the land, they're going Heim Osim Zigzag. I think that's what Netanyahu was accused of, Memshelet Zigzag. So he says that we are also, if they're doing zigzag, they're going back and forth, which is obviously an indication of absolute confusion. Sagar Aleihem HaMidbar, the desert is closing in on them, locking them in. Exactly at Leif Paro, and I will strengthen the heart of Paro, Berodaf HaKadeim, and he will pursue them, be carved up the Pharaoh, the whole halo, and I will be honored through Paro and all of his army, the Yadu Mitzrayim, Kine, Ani Hashem. This is ultimately the purpose of it all. From Makkah number one, God says the purpose of it all is Leman Teidu, in order that you should know, Ki Ani Hashem, that I'm God, and now he's going to know it, by Ya'asu Chayim, and they did so. All right. Let's go to Shani already, you know. But you got the Melech Mitzrayim, Ki Barach Ha'am, and the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled. Vayehofech levav Paro v'avodav el Ha'am, and the heart of Paro and his servants changed with regard to the people. Vayomru, ma'azot asinu, what did we do? Ki shilachnu et Yisrael me'avdeinu. You see how he looks at it? He sees it as the act of great magnanimity that he sent Israel out. Vayehsoret et Yisrael et Amol HaKachimo, and he tied the horses onto the to his chariot and his people he took with him. Vayikach shesh me'el trefot bakur, and he took 600 chosen best chariots, the chol rechav Mitzrayim, and all the chariots of Egypt, the shalishim al kulo, officers, or shalishim, according to some of the pshat, is a third rider on the chariot. Vayechazek Hashem et leiv paro melech Mitzrayim, vayirdof acharei b'nei Yisrael, that God strengthened the heart of Paro, the king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, u'b'nei Yisrael yotzim b'yad Rama, and the children of Israel are going out with an outstretched hand. Are they being thrown out? Are they the ones about whom you can say by Yehi Bishalach that Paro sent them out? No. All right, we will deal with all of these questions. Let's go back to that first pasuk. First pasuk and the Rashi. By Yehi Bishalach Paro et Ha'am, and Paro sent out the people, says Rashi, Lo Nacham Elokim Derech Eretz Plishtim. This is only if you have a chumash. If you don't have a chumash, you'll listen to me. We don't have it, but we're going to have some of it. We're going to have in the on our sheet. Velo nacham, he did not lead them. Velo nohagam, Rashi says, didn't lead them. Kamo leich nicheyatam, go lead the people. Behit halechacha, when you go tamcheuta, Torah is going to lead the way. He didn't lead them that way. Ki karovu, because it is close. Venoach lo shuv ba'oto haderech limitzchayim. And it's easy to return on that road. It's easy to go back to Mitzrayim. So therefore, he does not want to take them along that road. And we'll see precisely soon how Rashi reads the words ki karovu. Because, simply according to Rashi, ki is because. Yes, so you have the question. If it is close, that's the road you should take. No, but it's because it's close. And God is afraid they may turn around and go back. Therefore, he didn't take them that way. Medrash Agada Yesh Harvei. There's a great deal in the Medrash Agada. Now, when Rashi tells us that there's Medrash, and he doesn't tell us what the Medrash says, Rashi really means that, you know, it's a good idea to take a look in the Medrash, because you may find some fascinating things there. And that's, of course, why you have the second sheet. If Rashi said for all time, U'medrash agada yesh harbe, there's a great deal that's said in the Medrash. You mean you want me to look at the Medrash now, since you stopped? All right, let's take sheet two. My only fear of sheet two is that we can end up Fazunkin in sheet two, and sheet two will lock us in, and we won't get out, but it'll also be beautiful. Let's see what the Medrash has to say. Sheet two, on the right hand side, you'll see about 10 lines down a Yud Aleph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Was that amazing? I didn't count it in advance. All right. V'lo nacham Elokim derech eretz. By the way, when we see the Medrash, we have a number of tasks. Number one is to understand the Medrash. The second is to see how the Medrash learns the pasuk. Because when we see how the Medrash reads the pasuk, then we will know why Rashi didn't bring the Medrash. Sometimes Rashi will explain the pasuk according to the Medrash. Unless, of course, if the Medrash is too far out from Pshuto Shel Mikra, the simple meaning of the pasuk, but it's sending an important message, so Rashi will tell us, take a look at the Medrash, but he can't use it as pshat in the pasuk, because it's not pshat in the pasuk. The first Medrash is a classic example. V'lo nacham Elokim derech eretz, and God did not lead them derech eretz. The Medrash, it leaves out the word derech eretz plishtim. The Medrash is going to say that God did not lead the Jewish people out derech eretz in the way in which people usually travel. Watch what the Medrash says. Shalonam imam kiderech kol haaretz. God did not conduct himself with the Jewish people the way the whole earth does. Heich derech kol haaretz, what is the way of the world? Mishu kona avadim, a person who purchases slaves, kona otam, he purchases them for a purpose. Al minatshe yu marchitzin oto. The purpose of the slave is that the slave should serve me, to wash me, or v'sachin oto, the slave is the one who anoints oil over his master, umalbishin otam, the slave is also the one who is the valet and clothes the master, v'toanin oto, and the slave is the one who carries the master from one place to the next, umeidin lefanav, and the slave may very well be the one who carries the torch before his master. Oh no, but lo nacham Elokim derech eretz. God did not lead or take the Jewish people out in the way of the whole world. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu also came to Israel. He did not do it as such to Israel. Elo lo nacham Elokim kederech kol haaretz. God did not lead them the way of the whole earth. Elo shehoy hayom marchitzam. God is the one who washes and cleanses the Jewish people. The master cleanses the servant. Shenem, as it says, that chapter in Yechezkel, very fascinating chapter, it describes the Jewish people in Egypt as a child that has been abandoned out in the field and still has the umbilical cord, and it's dirty, it's all full of blood. And one pasuk in that great description in Yechezkel, we say it at Bris, and we also say it in the Haggadah, V'e'evar alayich, I passed over you, and I saw you midboseset b'domayach. You are wallowing in your blood. And I said to you, b'domayach chayi, b'domayach chayi. In your blood you will live, in your blood you will live. Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. And it describes how God washes and cleanses, anoints with oil, and diapers the baby that he finds out in the field. And that baby is Klausa. So the Medrash says, "V'lo nacham Elokim derech eretz." God did not take the Jewish people out in the way in which all masters take slaves out. There, the norm is that the slave is the one who does all of these things for the master. But not so here. The Revelation says, "V'erchetzeir damayim, I washed you with water." V'soch otan, and he anointed them with oil. Shenema v'asocher b'shemen, I anointed you with oil. V'hil bishon, and he clothed them. Shenema v'al bishech rikma, I cloaked you, I covered you with all sorts of embroidered garments. Unisaon, and he carried them. Shenema, and this is a pasuk later on in it's next week's Seder in Yisro, where I said, come on, come fein yisharim, I carried you on the wings of eagles. And God lights the way before them. Shenema, as it says here, we just learned the psukim by Hashem holeth l'sneihem yom, and God goes before them during the day. Lakach nema, that's why it says v'lo nacham Elokim derech eretz. So obviously Rashi could not have quoted this medrash. It's a very beautiful medrash, but of course the medrash is stopping right before an extremely important word in the pasuk. The pasuk really is saying v'lo nacham Elokim derech eretz plishtim, but the medrash saw, you know, I believe I know what the medrash is saying. The pasuk could have said v'lo nacham derech plishtim. Why does it have to say v'lo nacham? God didn't lead them derech eretz plishtim. Because the pasuk wanted us to understand, first of all, v'lo nacham derech eretz, God did not take them out in the way in which a master takes a slave usually. And you know how it expressed it itself as well, another thing, v'lo nacham derech eretz plishtim. For that matter, I could even go one step further. Any one of the two words, derech or eretz, were unnecessary. He could have said v'lo nacham, he did not lead them eretz plishtim. It could have said v'lo nacham derech plishtim. It just didn't have to say both of them. So that means even the medrash doesn't simply tack itself onto a pasuk. There's something in the pasuk. There's something there, and our rabbis see it, and therefore V'lo nocham derech eretz. That's one. Next. V'lo nocham elokim derech eretz plishtim. Second idea that is expressed by the Medrash. And here, the emphasis is the famous story. It really appears in Divrei Hayamim, and here the Medrash tells it to us in full. Shetou Shivdo Shel Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim made the mistake. Coming here for how many? 30 years before the exodus from Egypt, because they had calculated that that's when the time of the Geula has arrived. Because the fact is, God at the Brit Bein Havatarim, God at the covenant between the pieces, says that your children are going to be enslaved for 400 years. The question is, when do the 400 years begin? Does it begin when Jews come down to Egypt? And they were only in Egypt for 210. So Chazal tell us that we count from the time of the birth of Yitzchak when Avram has children. Your children shall be strangers in a land that's not theirs. From the birth of Yitzchak until Yitzias Mitzrayim, 400 years. The tribe of Ephraim said, no, you count the 400 years from the time that God spoke to Avram at the Bris Bein HaPesachim. Avram then was 70 years old. That was 30 years before the birth of Yitzchak. 30 years before the Exodus, the tribe of Ephraim decided that the time has come to leave Mitzrayim. And they broke out. But they were massacred. V'nergu mehem lamed ribo. Lamed ribo is 10,000. What's that? That's 3 million. A lot. V'lomo nergu. Why were they killed? Shechoshu, they calculated min yom shenidbar Avram bein Abitarim. The day that God spoke to Avram at the Brit bein Abitarim, the total lamed shana, they made a mistake by 30 years. Shenema, as it says, b'nei Ephraim, noshke romei keshet. B'nei Ephraim are the ones who carried the neshek, the weapons, they held the bows in their hands. Lulei shamu, lo yatsu mi haya chafetz lahotzi el hereg banav. Would they have listened, they would have understood that God did not want to take his children out to be killed. Ephraim, how do we know that it's Ephraim? So we'll see right away. I saw Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, why was it that Ephraim of all tribes, Ephraim, why were they the ones that just broke out of Egypt? Why didn't they wait together with everybody else until Moshe would arrive? So Rabbi Yaakov writes the following. It's related to something that we mentioned a few weeks ago when we talked about Shifra and Puah, that Egyptian names had a pay or a resh, or a pay and a resh in the name. Potiphar. And as we said, his wife's name was Ashes Potiphar. So she also has a pay and a resh. More than one pay. Shifra and Puah. There is an opinion that says that Shifra and Puah were Egyptian women. Shifra and Puah. Ephraim was an Egyptian name that Yosef gave to his son. By the way, what name did Paro? It all starts. Paydays of Paro. What name did Paro give to Yosef? Tzapnat Ta'anea. All right? You have all the pays and the fays and the ratios, whatever you want. Says Rabbi Yaakov that Ephraim was the one who was unable to take the exile more than all of the rest. Because Ephraim was so deeply hurt and pained by the enslavement that he simply had to get out of Mitzrayim. First of all, he was a native-born Egyptian. He was born in Mitzrayim. Not only he was born in Mitzrayim, he carried an Egyptian name. He's the one that's walking around thinking to himself, I can understand. I'm as much Egyptian as all of the rest of you. Why do you enslave me? And the Jew who knows what it means to be a Nayeg Kimena, a greenhorn, a refugee. No. But the true blue blood, say, American Jew. Or Canadian, or German Jew. They're the ones that smart under the whip of anti-Semitism more than the others. I eat Fashtek, you understand? No, listen to Sahad Goy. And that's it. What do I expect? But the one who feels, listen, my culture, my birthplace, this is it. I'm Egypt. I'm as Egyptian as anybody else. For him to mean, say, Ephraim couldn't take it. And therefore, Ephraim, because he couldn't take it, he miscalculated. And he left before the time. And if you look two lines further, it says, V'hoyu atzmoteim shtuchim baderech. The bones of Mitzrayim were spread out on the road. Chomorim, chomorim, piles of bones. Shekva hoyu lehem lamed shono sheyotzu. Atzelo yotzu achreim Mitzrayim. Just a distance in time of 30 years. Until their brothers left Mitzrayim after them. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yiru Yisrael atzmot b'nei Ephraim, if Yisrael will see the bones of the sons of Ephraim, shtuchin baderech, laying out on the road, yachzeru l'mitzrayim, they will go back to Mitzrayim. He did not want them to see the bones of Mitzrayim, of Ephraim. Now, there are two different ways to look at this. In other words, there are those who have used this story of the sons of Ephraim in order to demonstrate that you can't try and bring Mashiach or Geula before its time. And wherever you are, you just have to wait until such time that there will be an indication from heaven, but you can't do anything on your own. This was, of course, the position of those who were opposed to the establishment of the State of Israel, that the whole thing is born in sin. And you know what the sin is? The sin is the sin of the sons of Ephraim. But then there's another Gemara. The Gemara in the Sechet Sanhedrin says that the bones, the dry bones that Yechezkel brought back to life were the sons of Ephraim. Because God said, here are people who were so fiercely determined to become free men. Ultimately, in the longer view of history, they're the ones who are going to come back to life. All right. Yeah, of course, I've been Yakili Ephraim. All right. Let's go on to the next column. To Yud Bet. I'm not taking a chance. I think, is that seven lines on the top? Yes. That's two. All right. On the right hand side. So that means like this. The first shot the Medrash learned was V'lo Nochom Elokim Derech Eretz. The second shot in the Medrash is V'lo Nochom Elokim Derech Eretz Plishtim, because that's where B'nai Ephraim are. V'lo Nochom Elokim Yud Bet Dover Acher, another shot, V'lo Nochom Elokim. It doesn't even go to the word Derech Eretz, not even to the word Plishtim, just the words V'lo Nochom Elokim. And the Medrash learns the following: Afa pisha sholchem paro lo nitnachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though Paro sent them out, by Yehidish shalach Paro et ha'am, Paro sent them out, lo nacham alakim means God was not comforted. God was not consoled. Lo nacham elokim does not mean, according to this pshat in the Medrash, he did not lead them. But V'lo Nocham Elokim means God was not consoled. Apo Pisha Shocham Paro, even though Paro sent them out, Lo Nitnachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not consoled. Moshol Lemo Hadavar Doma. You see that Mem Lamed Hei Dalet? Sounds like Israeli army talk, you know, Malhad. I spoke to my Malhad, no. Mem Lamed Hei Dalet means Moshol Lemah Adova Domo, what can this be compared to? Lemelech Shenishba b'no, a king whose son was taken captive, v'holach aviv v'hitzilo min alisim, and the father went and he saved the son from the highwaymen, v'hargon, and he killed them, v'hoyaben omer la'aviv, kach v'kach asuli, kach v'kach hikuosi, and the son afterwards is telling the father, they did such and such to me, this is how they hit me, v'shiduoti, they enslaved me, abal pisha hargon, even though the king had killed the highwayman, lo hoya mitnachem, he was not consoled, elo hoya omer, he would say, kach v'kach asu lebona, he would feel terrible, nebach, look what they did to my children, kach asu amitzrim, this is what the Egyptians did, shibdu et Yisrael, they enslaved Israel, shenema v'yemorru et chayayim, they embittered their lives, hevi aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu yud makos, so God brought 10 plagues against them, the gal et bonav, and he redeemed his sons, apal pikein hayaome, even though they're out, they've gone out to safety, but the revelation was still pained, vayehi b'shalach paro et ha'am, lo nacham elokim, even though Paro already sent out the Jewish people, God is not consoled. Eini mitnachem, apal pikein hayaome, God said, eini mitnachem, I'm not consoled, ad she'ehero, lukulam, until I kill them all. Sheyinema, as it says later on in the parasha, v'yenayer Hashem et Mitzrayim b'toch hayam, God shook Egypt out into the sea, uksiv, sus v'rochvo rama v'yam, horse and rider were cast into the sea. And it says, Mitzrayim l'shmama tihiyah. This is already in Yoel. 1,000 years later, God says, Egypt is going to be absolute desolation. Lekach nema, that's why it says, v'lo nocham. The word nocham over here means, or it carries also the meaning of nechama, lehitnachem, to be consoled. Hamakom yinachem, from hamakom yinachem, etchem. So you see, Rashi of course began by saying, below nocham elokim, below nagam. The real meaning of the word nocham is to lead. But there are other words that you can hear in there. There are other meanings. And the Medrash, brings the other meanings to the surface, but it certainly is not pshuto shel mikra, so therefore Rashi doesn't bring it. Yud Gimel, you know, I'm beginning to like this. Below Nacham, Yud Gimel, Davar Achar, another pshat. Below Nacham, I mean Mitzrayim. Listen, when Rashi said Medrash Hagadah Yesh Harbe, in the Medrash Hagadah there's a lot. He knew exactly what he was saying. I don't think we're not going to go through it all now, we'll see. Mi Mitzrayim l'Eretz Yisrael yud aleph masos, from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, 11 journeys. In other words, ultimately it could have been done in a much, much briefer period of time. Torah says really it could have been done in 3 days. El Nesom HaKadosh Baruch Hu Derech HaMidbar Mem Shana, God carried them through the desert for 40 years. Shenema says, Achad Oseh Yom Mechorev, from Korev, from Sinai to Eretz Yisrael, is really 11 days journey. V'achakach, afterwards it says, Vayihi Barboim Shana, at the end of 40 years they came into the land. Lekach Nema V'lo Nocham Elokim. Lo Nocham Elokim means God did not take them, lead them directly into Eretz Yisrael. Lo nocham means not directly all the way, but it took 40 years, and you'll see the significance of this. Tovaracha v'lo nocham elokim, mashal l'melach shehoyah lo banim v'nishbu, v'hayu b'shibud, umesu mehen, a king who had children who were taken captive, and they were enslaved, and some of them died. Yared ha-melach v'hitzil mashin ishtaya, the king went down and he saved those that were left, mehem from them, v'hayso simchol l'banav, Al Shehitzel et Bonav, he had great joy that he saved his sons. Avolo hayom mitnachem al otan shemetu, but he still was not consoled over those who died. So here the Velo Nacham, this Velo Nacham is similar to the Velo Nacham from before. Watch. It's going to keep going. Watch. Davaracha. V'lo nacham elokim, Omer Rav Shimon ben Levi. Rav Shimon Levi said, Mashal ben Melech, Mashal to a prince, Shenishba b'yad ha-barbarim. Does that need translation? son who was captured by the barbarians, and they enslaved enslaved him. Liyonim Halach HaMelech. After a certain period of time, the king went to Hitzulat Benomi Adam, and he saved his son from their hand. Amar HaMelech Lebeno, the king said to his son, Ani Sameach, I'm happy Al Shehitzaltich on the Adam. I'm happy that I saved you from their hands. I will Eini Mitnachem, but I'm not going to be consoled. Ad Shani Mishtabi Behem Kishem Shishibdu Bechon, until I enslave them as they enslaved you. Ka, so too. When Israel was enslaved in Egypt, they enslaved them with mortar and with bricks. The God revealed himself to them and he saved them. And he was very happy that he had saved them. But he said, I'm not going to be consoled. I'm not going to be consoled until I take them down into the sea. Shenema, as it says, V'niyer Paro V'chelo B'yamsuf, he cast Paro and his hosts into the Yamsuf. Now, you have to move to the right-hand column. Rav Yeshua ben Leva Amar, Marshal a Melech, Marshal to a king. Shehayolo Yud Be'izbonim, V'hayolo Yud Osyos. A king who had 12 children, and he had 10 osiot. 10 osiot over him means 10 parcels of land. Amar HaMelech, here the Medrash is going to move in a fascinating direction, and it has to be understood. Said the king, Im etenu tam lebanai, if I'm going to give them to my children, nimtza niyosa b'nei mediv, I'm going to cause machloket. In other words, I have 12 children, but I only have 10 parcels of land. What am I going to do? I'm going to give out the 10 parcels of land. There are two that I'm not going to receive. What am I going to do? Ela, hadeni mamtin, I'm going to wait ad she'ekne ochtayim. I'm going to wait until I purchase another two parcels of land. V'acharkach, and afterwards, achalkein b'neim, I will divide the land amongst them. Then I'll have 12 pieces of land. And if I have 12 pieces of land, then I can give it to my 12 children. Kach Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said God, Im ani machnisan achshav, if I bring them into the land now, Im ani machnisan achshav laretz, if I bring them into Eretz Yisrael now, Ein bo chelek liyud veishvotam, I don't have portions for 12 tribes. Ela haveini ma'akvan ba'midbar, I'm going to keep them in waiting in the desert, ad sheyirshu et Eber HaYarden, until they inherit Eber HaYarden, v'yitluhu b'nei Ruvein u'b'nei Gad, the Chatzis Shevet HaManasseh, and then I'm going to have land for Ruvein and God and half a tribe of Manasseh. V'achakach ani machnisa l'aretz, afterwards I bring them into the land. L'kach ne'am v'lo nacham alekim. Now, the Medrash now is going to go on a fascinating journey. God has 10 parcels of land. He has to give it out to 12 tribes. He doesn't have to. He needs another two. Now, where did the other two come from? The land on the east side of the Jordan belonged to Ammon and Moab. However, Ammon and Moab, God is going to say, you did not wage war with Ammon and Moab. They're mishpucha. You don't fight with mishpucha. They're not such good mishpucha. They may not be such nice mishpucha, but Ammon and Moab you don't fight with. So what God wanted to wait for is that Sichon and Og would conquer parcels of land of Ammon and Moab, and then Jews would come and take it from Sichon and Og. So the Jews would not be in a position of fighting with their mishpucha. Now, what the Medrash is now saying becomes, I would say, problematic. And we're going to see that this problem is going to intensify in the Medrash. We always thought that Jews spent 40 years in the desert because of the sin of the Mechaglim. They sinned, tragic mistake of the Meraglim, and therefore Jews must remain in the desert. Now all of a sudden it seems, no, there was a plan. God wanted them to wait in the desert, because he still doesn't have the other two pieces of land, so therefore he's waiting for that. Now watch, it's going to intensify with the next Medrash. It tetvav, davar achav, olonochem olakim. Moshe Lamelech, it's a Moshe to a king, Shailo Ben, he had a son, and he wanted to give him an inheritance. The Omen, he said, Im not nalo ani achshav, if I give him the inheritance now, Adayin Kotenhu, he's still young. Veinu Yudeil Shomra, he doesn't know how to take care of it. The little boy has to grow up. Ella, Ad Sheyilma Beni Ketovin, until my son learns how to write, and he learns how to read, and he learns about all sorts of other things. He needs an education. V'yamod al omkon, and he will see the depth of ideas. V'acha kachani not nolo. Edwards, I'm going to give it to him. If I give him the inheritance now, he'll simply fritter it away. I have to raise him. He has to grow up. He has to become learned and intellectual. I have to make a mensch out of him, and then I can give it to him. Kachom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so said the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Im ani machnis achshav Yisrael la'aretz, if I bring Klal Yisrael into the land, now Adayim lo nitasku b'mitzvot, they haven't learned mitzvot yet. Vein in yaday, yodin iske trumas u'maisis, they don't even know how to give trumas u'maisis. Ela etein lehem et ha-Torah, first I'll give them the Torah, and afterwards I'll bring them into Eretz Yisrael. So it means one of them, not only to give them the Torah, but I have to give them the Torah, and I have to teach them the Torah, and they have to learn it, and they have to practice it, and they're going to have to review it, and they're going to have to know Torah Sheba'al Peh, Ba'al Peh. I mean, this is going to take time. In other words, I have to turn this slave people into a nation of free men. Only then can I bring them into Eretz Yisrael. This is the second Medrash now that is telling us it's a good thing that Jews stayed in the desert. It does not come across as it is in Torah that it was a great a punishment that Jews couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. The third Medrash is going to go even further. By the way, all these three Medrashim are really saying, V'lo nacham Elokim, God didn't take them straight into Eretz Yisrael. In other words, there was a pshat in the Medrash, V'lo nacham Elokim derech Eretz. God did not conduct himself with the Jewish people in the way in which a master usually conducts himself with a slave. And then the Medrash said, V'lo nacham Elokim derech Eretz plishtim. God did not take them through plishtim, because in plishtim they would have seen the bodies of tens or hundreds of thousands of Bnei Ephraim. V'lo nacham Elokim, the Medrash says, God was not consoled, even though his people were sent out of Egypt, but he feels their pain and he's going to exact full punishment from the Egyptians. Now the Medrash is saying, V'lo nacham Elokim, God did not take them straight into Eretz Yisrael. He didn't take them straight into Eretz Yisrael either because he didn't have all 12 portions of land. He didn't take them straight into Eretz Yisrael because they need to be educated. They need to learn. There's a great deal that they need to know. They're young children. Father cannot give an inheritance to them yet. Next pshat, V'lo nacham Elokim, lama derech Eretz plishtim. Amar Rav Shimon bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, kivin sheshamu haknanim, when the Knanim heard sheyiskol nichnasin la'aretz, when the Knanim heard that the Jews are coming to Eretz Yisrael, ondu v'kotzitzu hanetiyot shehayu lehem, they cut down all the trees. You know what they were preparing for? Scorched earth. Jews are going to come into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to find a land that's absolutely desolate, destroyed, a scene of total devastation. Says the Medrash, Kinesh Shamu Shenitakvu Bamidbar Mem Shana, when the Knanim hear that Jews are staying in the desert, they're not coming. So they assumed, they're going to remain a desert tribe. So they replanted all of Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Rebbeinu was waiting for. That all of Eretz Yisrael should be replanted again, and it should be growing, it should be full of trees, it should be fruitful, then he's going to bring them in. So he says, when he heard that they remained in the desert for 40 years, so they thought that in the desert, that's where they're going to live. Maybe one more. Yeah, this is the end of the Medrash. But Rabbeinu HaGadol Omer, our great rabbi said, "Lefi shebikish Hakadosh Baruch Hu retain ematan she Yisrael al odei k'tavim." God wanted that the fear of Israel should be on the idolaters, Ikvam men shana bimba. He kept them for 40 years in the desert. Umeyalehem ba'amud onam v'yam ba'amud eish layla. V'shalu kol ha'ov de'kachov v'nafla aleihem ra'ada. God wanted that the people of Canaan should be frightened and terrified before the Jewish people. And they kept getting reports that there's a great pillar of fire, a great pillar of smoke. Jews are going through a desert. Bread is coming down from heaven. Water is coming down from Iraq. By the time Jews are going to enter Eretz Yisrael at the end of 40 years, they will be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael without shooting an arrow. The walls of Jericho are just going to come tumbling down. The one question that we have, of course, on all of these Midrashim is, all of these Midrashim seem to be putting a very positive light on the 40 years of the desert. Baruch Hashem! Maybe even one will say, well, what would we have done without the Meraglim? What the Midrash really is saying is the following. Every tragedy may very well have a silver lining. Not everything is absolute bad. Even in the bad and the evil, the terrible tragedy of the Meraglim, there was something very, very positive about it. If you would have asked, what would the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted? He would have wanted a people who would say, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. So then, all right, so the Rebbeinu Shel Olam would have to make sure that he gets another two pieces of land more quickly. He'd have to give him a crash course in Torah and mitzvahs. He'd have to move the process more quickly and more swiftly. But the Medrash is speaking out against despair. Don't think that there isn't, yes, this silver lining to even the tragedy of the Meraglim. It means that the Medrash says the idea that the Jews had to grow up and Jews had to develop. And by the way, we're going to see this last Medrash is going to become important in our understanding of a number of psukim here in the parasha. Klal Yisrael needed to grow up. They needed to learn. They needed practice and learning. Their soil had to become ready for them. And only then would they come. Yes? I tell you, when you asked about God's promises, so I once said a shir a few years ago. And it was a shir on the Akedah. Avram, when God tells him to take his son Yitzhak and bring him as a sacrifice, Avram could have turned to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and said, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, but you promised that Yitzhak is going to be the father of a great people. You know why Avram doesn't ask that? Because Avram understands the following. God's promises, that's for God to fulfill. I'm not responsible for God's promises. I'm only responsible to fulfill that which God commands me to do. I'm going to become the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's Tazarga. Listen, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you're going to be in real trouble if I slaughter Yitzhak. So what are you going to do with your promise that Yitzhak Yikar L'Chazara? Avram knows he's not God. God has said that he's going to bring the Jewish people to the mountain and give them Torah. Don't worry about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. He can take care of himself. He doesn't need us to worry about him. Therefore, the Pasuk says it very clearly. He didn't take them derech Eretz Plishtim. Yeah, he didn't take them derech Eretz Plishtim. How is he going to bring them to Sinai? Was it somebody here who said that if the Jews wouldn't come to Sinai, Sinai would come to the Jews? How many midrashim do we have about the Carmel and the Tavor mountains moving around the world? Revelation of King David and Ezer. He'll find a way to give Torah at Sinai. But now, on this last medrash, on sheet one, let's take a look first at number three. I'm not going in the order in which they are on the sheet. Vayihi b'shalom k'taru et ha'am, says the Rashbam. God did not want to lead them to the land of Plishtim, Kikarogu, because it's close. Derech Yasar is a straight road, Lihikanes, Miyab, Be'eret Kenan,
where they would come immediately into the land of Canaan, ukeshiyavo l'torach milchamot eretz Canaan, yitnu rosh v'yashuvu l'mitzrayim,
when they will be burdened with the wars of eretz Canaan, they will appoint a new leader and go back to Mitzrayim, k'mo she'asu kama pamim, as they do many times.
The Rashbam is reading into this first pasuk, and by the way, this is clearly what the Medrash saw in the first pasuk. The first pasuk, when you take the first pasuk of this parasha and you look at it in its broader context, you know what it's really saying? There's a lack of readiness. They're just not ready. Now, once you're saying that they're not ready to go directly into the land of Canaan, it may mean that they're not ready for a number of reasons. And it may therefore mean, depending on what the reasons are, they may need a month, they may need a year, 10 years, they may even need 40 years. The first pasuk is simply saying that God did not take them on the direct route in because they're not ready. So the Rashbam says, since the first pasuk tells us, lest they see war, they're not ready to go from enslavement to become great mighty warriors. They're just not ready for it. They're going to need a period during which they're going to grow up. They have to develop self-confidence. They have to develop a feeling of self. They need time. You can't hurry. There are certain things you simply can't hurry. Every step in life requires readiness. And if you try to skip a step in life, you may create all sorts of emotional problems. Children have to be taken step by step. You know, you can't take a place of 2-year-old and start teaching them Mishnayos Baal Peh or quantum mathematics. And everything has its readiness factor. First, Pasuk says Jews are just not ready to go into Mitzrayim. From Mitzrayim straight into Eretz Yisrael, so the Rashbam says because of the wars, they're not ready to fight. You'll take a look, there are two paragraphs from the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, where the Rambam says the following: Hu yit'aleh higdim lehargilchem hatorach bamidbar laharbot tovatchem kishitikansu la'aretz. God had you get accustomed to the difficulties of desert living, and it was for your good when you come into Eretz Yisrael. The desert experience was a difficult one, but the more difficult it was, the more positive it was. V'zeh emet, the Rambam says this is true. Ki hayitziyah min ha-torah al ha-menucha yoter areva min ha-hatmada al ha-menucha. For a person to go from working hard to rest, you enjoy a rest? If you worked hard. So he says, to go from Torah, difficult work, to Menucha, is much sweeter, Yoter Areva, it's much sweeter than Ha'atmada al Ha'menucha, being constantly at rest. Just no work and all play makes somebody, what, a dull boy, all right? V'yadua, and it is known, Shalulei Torchon v'amalam b'midbar, not for the toil and their work in the desert, lo hayu yicholim l'rvosh ha'aretz, they would never have been able to conquer Eretz Yisrael. V'lo lehilachem b'yoshven, they could not wage war against the inhabitants of the land. Hinei om ratodo zeh. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says, where did the Torah tell us that they needed to be toughened up and become a strong people? He quotes this passage, Ki Amar Elokim Pen Yinachem Ha'am, V'rotam Milchama, V'shavu Mitzrayimah, V'yasei Elokim Et Ha'am Derech Amin V'yamsov. The Rambam is taking this in its much broader sense. We're not simply talking about the fact that God does not take them directly into Eretz Yisrael now, but he's saying he's taking them through the Midbar, because the Midbar is going to be the great school for the Jewish people. That's where they're going to learn how to come face to face with certain realities of life. They're going to be toughened. Even though in a certain sense you may say, well, you know, it was an easy experience, they didn't have to work for a living. There were difficulties. There were emotional difficulties in the desert. There could have been physical difficulties in the desert. It all was there in order to toughen them up. Ki ha-menucha tosir ha-gevura, because being at rest
remove strength. The tzoka parnasava ha'amal yitnu ha'gevura. And the difficulty of making a living and toil makes a man mighty. That's the good that comes at the end. At this particular point, it seems though it's something terrible. When you begin reading Pasha Peshalach and seeing Nebuchadnezzar, God can't take them directly into Eretz Mitzrayim. He has to take them through a circuitous route. Rambam says that circuitous, tortuous route was in order to steal them, make them a tough, strong people. And then the Rambam, the next, it's also from the Rambam. Rambam says, She'ein b'teva ha'adam, it's not in the nature of man. She'yigdal al-melech et avdut b'chom edabu v'veinim. You can't raise a person doing the work of lime and bricks and such work for achar kein yilchatsi adav l'shato milukucham v'ilochein in yilidei ha'amak pitam. He uses very beautiful language. You can't expect somebody who's been enslaved and downtrodden and doing the work of putting brick on top of brick and then expect that he's going to wash his hands, wash his hands from the filth and go out and wage war with mighty giants. It doesn't work that way. They're going to have to go through a process, and that process is going to be an educational one. And therefore, whatever it says over here, the Rambam is reading, or whatever it says over here at the beginning of the Pasha, is not so tragic. On the contrary, the purpose was a positive one. And here again, the Rambam, this is a different section in the Rambam, where he again refers back to the beginning of Pasha Peshara. It was God's wisdom. It was God's wisdom that he took them through the desert until they learned how to be mighty people. To Moshe, know that as it's known, Shehahalicha b'midbar, going in the desert, umiyot hanos haguf, and diminishing the pleasures of the body, meyachitza v'chayotza, and washing and other things, yolidu hagevura. They're the ones that give birth to strength, v'hipuchan, and being very pampered. Yolidu roch halevav. They are what give birth to being too soft-hearted, mush. The noble Dante and Anoshin Shalom Virgulu b'shiflut u'v'avdut. Ah, here he is also alluding to something that's also said by the Eben Ezra, that a new generation is going to be born, and this new generation that's going to be born are ones who have not experienced the lowliness of slavery. This is a people with a new generation that was not enslaved. It means therefore the Medrashim that we learned, the Rashban, the two sections of the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim. The detour that takes place at the beginning of Parsha Bishalach is not all bad. The detour that begins at here is a detour that is going to be used in order to create a strong and a mighty people. They were not ready. And there's nothing wrong with the fact that they were not ready. This is those are the wages of slavery. Let's not kid ourselves. If you mention Holocaust, I don't know how many generations will suffer psychological problems as a result of what Hitler Yimach Shemayim did. What do you think? You think he affected only those who were in the camps, and that's all? What are you talking about? Generations are affected by it. Klal Yisrael is simply able to wash itself from 210 years of enslavement and pit on Kamadan. All of a sudden, here it is, a strong, mighty, powerful people, and they're marching. They may be marching out to freedom, but that they're not ready to march into a new, bold, brave world. They're not ready for it. So, v'lo nachad alukim, I wouldn't be a bit surprised that they...
See, it did bother me just thinking of this now, you know, and you inspire me. Well, why does it say Velo Nacham Elokim? First pasuk, it's bothering me. Vayhi b'shalach paro tamo Velo Nacham Elokim. Derech eretz pirshin ki karavu ki amad Elokim peni nachem ha'am. Vayaseid Elokim. Why is it Elokim all the time? Tako yiftod Elokim etchem. Who's the God that we've been hearing about all along? The God that we've been hearing about all along is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is the God of great miracles, the personal God who is entering into a relationship with the Jewish people. What's all of this Elohim over here? Until Pasuk 21, where it says, Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei goes before them in a pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire. I think the Elohim is, as we had mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, Elohim represents Hateva, nature. God is dealing with the Jewish people in a way that he is responding, reacting, and he's dealing with the nature of Klal Yisrael. And then Elohim understands that they're not ready for that right now. Sure, he can make great miracles, and sure, he can bring all the walls of Eretz Yisrael tumbling down. But that's not what he wants to do. He wants to take these people and turn them into a people that have natural strength built in, and he's going to take them through a 40-year period of re-education, emotionally, psychologically, intellectually. They have to know Torah, they have to know about the rules of Moses, they have to be able to have a feeling of courage, they have to remove all of the psychological hang-ups of the past that came as a result of their enslavement. And if they're not going to be able to do it, then it's going to be a whole new generation that's going to go into Eretz Yisrael. All of this is God as he is reflected in by his name Elohim. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei can do anything, but Elohim wants that these people should, with their natures have to be changed, they have to be developed, they have to grow, we have to make of them a people that will be able to inherit Eretz Yisrael. God is not going to be holding their hands throughout history. He's going to be nearby. Sometimes he'll be revealed, sometimes he's going to be concealed, but they're going to have to carry the ball throughout all of history, and that's only going to happen in the event that they will develop the strength, the power, the courage, the determination on their own, and that they're going to have to learn through 40 years in the Midbar. I don't know what would have been otherwise if they would have gone in immediately. I imagine if they would have gone in immediately, they would have needed tremendous amount of on the job training. You know, if you're not prepared in advance, then we're just going to have to prepare you on the job, which is a great deal more difficult. I don't think they can afford it. Most probably, the 40 years in the Midbar are the years that were extremely important in terms of preparing them for what was to come. So that therefore, what the Medrash and the Rambam and the Rashbam, what the Mepharshim are doing, these two psukim that seem to be a backsliding of the Jewish people, may very well be, clearly calculated for their benefit. Now the shiur is nearly over, but there's one thing I have to tell you. We learned it some years ago, but at least I'll mention it now. One of the points that will make a great difference as you read the Sedra, I want you to be aware of one extremely important and significant distinction that's made by the Ramban. And that distinction made by the Ramban will simply take you through all of the difficulties of this parsha. The Ramban, and you'll take it, look at it quickly, and with that we close. I think we're on the second side of page one. That is so much we have to learn there. You see, number five, what's underlined in the Ramban? I'll tell you what it says over there. Tell what it says over there. The Ramban makes one extremely important and significant distinction, and that distinction will take you through the whole parsha. There's a difference between Am and Bnei Yisrael. When it talks about Bnei Yisrael, it means the elite, the committed, the dedicated Jews who are fueled by a passion that is holy. Means the masses of the people. The moment you know that, every pasuk in the Sedra is fine. Vayehi b'shalach Paro, whom did Paro throw out? Whom did he cast out? Et ha'am. Et ha'am. But take a look at the end of the next pasuk. V'chamushim olu v'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. The beginning of the first pasuk and the end of the second pasuk, we ask, are contradictions. The end of the second pasuk says that on they go out of Egypt. Are they being thrown out of Egypt or are they marching? No, they're marching out. You know why they're marching out? Because there the pasuk is talking about Bnei Yisrael are the ones who went on. Who are the ones that needed the kick from Paro to be cast out? The Am. In Hallel, what do we say? Bitzait? Yisrael Mitzrayim. Yisrael goes out of Egypt. Yosef. To whom did Yosef entrust the oath, don't leave me here in Mitzrayim, take me out? Vayikach Moshe Tatzmon, Yosef Timon, Pasuk Yotet, Yashbeah, Yishbeah. Et B'nai Yisrael, Leymar, the B'nai Yisrael were the ones that were entrusted with that oath. Alright, where else? Chapter 14, Pasuk Bet, who are the ones that are going... that Moshe is told to speak to begin the journey backwards, so to speak, getting closer to Mitzrayim. This is a frightening move in the journey. Speak to the Bnei Yisrael, they're going to turn and go back before Pi Hachidah. So then, Paro is going to say, he knows that there are two parts for the people. He knows that there's the Am, the masses, and there, hey, you can do whatever you want for them. But all of a sudden, you know what's going to encourage Paro to go pursue the Jewish people? Because he sees that Bnei Yisrael are confused in the desert. His spies are telling him that all of, you know, the top guys, the mighty ones, the ones that are on, seem to be traveling in a strange pattern in the desert. And then, let's see, do we have any more? And at the end of Pasuk Chet, we'll stop there. Vayidov acharei b'nei Yisrael, u'b'nei Yisrael yotzim v'yad rama. B'nei Yisrael are going out with an outstretched hand. They're not the ones of Vayihi b'shalach Paro et ha'om. And if you'll watch, you'll see later on, they're going to be same thing. For example, the question by the Yamsuf, all of a sudden Jews believe in God. So listen to the prophet Vayar Yisrael et hayad agdol asher oso Hashem in Mitzrayim. Vayiru ha'om et Hashem vayaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdo. B'nai Yisrael believed in God all along. The ones who now rise to the level of believing in God are ha'om. Okay. That's it.